Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The parable of the unrighteous steward, unrighteous manager, dishonest manager, however you want to translate it, is a hard parable to understand. But Jesus does, as Scripture always does, it explains itself further. Jesus uses a different parable. He says that the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. That both in today's parable and in that simple, plain parable, the basic thought is that Jesus is teaching us to use temporal possessions for the purpose of obtaining something of even greater value. That's the parable today. When it boils down to it, the unrighteous heathens, that is, the sons of this world, as Jesus calls them, are often more shrewd in their dealings with their present wealth for the sake of their future wealth and security. That they truly believe that by having more, they will be more secure. And so they lead their lives according to that doctrine. And they do it for wealth that will fail. Jesus says, when it fails. They do it for that wealth that will fail. They do it like runners competing for a perishable wreath. But Christians, however, know of that failure. They know of that coming death. They know of the return of their Lord. They know of the great treasure that is heaven itself, that is eternity with Christ, imperishable and unfailing. And as Christians, then, that ought to motivate us to use everything we have for the sake of that eternal good. That when we go to heaven, when our Lord faithfully takes us there, as he's promised to do, there is waiting for us there not only a wealth of treasures found in the reward of good works, but also those true treasures of the people, those who will receive us, the people who we influenced along the way by our witness to the goodness of God and the saving work of Christ Jesus for the world. There is a humility required here, a humility which is sadly lacking in all of us, especially one time to another, especially Americans. That we are indeed the wealthiest people of all history. And as such, we have come up with some unhealthy and sinful ways of regarding the wealth that we've been given. That first of all, and the root of it all, the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh have all worked together to deceive us, to convince us that what we have is ours. And ours alone. That it's our possession, that we earned it. And that this is blatantly false teaching, rooted in pride, which is then rooted in idolatry. That you would not, and I would not, have anything today if it wasn't for the God who created and preserves us. That what you have is not yours, really. It's his. And so because it's not really yours, it's not just up to you to determine how to use that wealth, how to use those possessions and so forth. Do you see what our culture does all of the time? That is, removing God from the picture. Do you see that we too have done that in our hearts in regards to what we have? And as such, what happens when you fixate on your stuff as your own? The first thing is you lack gratitude towards God. You become ungrateful to the God who has given you all that you have. And this is sin. Then comes not only lack of gratitude but God, but it also comes greed towards your neighbor, which is sin. Then comes indifference toward the needs of your neighbor, which is sin, which is hatred. And then along with it comes slavery to needing more, to all of that idolatrous coveting that happens in the heart. In short, what happens when you deny God is that you become enslaved to sin. What you have is not your own. It was given to you by God. And it doesn't matter how hard you think you worked for it to earn it or deserve it, God is the one who graciously gave it to you. And like it or not, God has spoken about how it should be used. That is what it means to be a steward and not an owner, to be a manager and not the master of the house. That this manager or steward in this account is praised not for his dishonesty or anything like it, but because he, trusting in the mercy of his master who was letting him go, he prevailed upon that mercy of his boss to use the earthly things within his sphere to secure for himself a future. You see, he trusted in the mercy of the rich man. And thus he used what the rich man had given him to secure himself that future, because he knew he couldn't do it himself. Now, this is certainly not teaching that we gain heaven by our works. It does not teach us that we gain heaven by how we steward things on this earth. But having given heaven by the work of Jesus, we are given to lives of service and love towards the neighbor. And salvation only comes by the grace of God when we trust in Christ for our forgiveness and salvation. But what this teaching today does is it warns us that the pride, the greed, the indifference, the unloving behavior towards both God and our neighbor that comes with being an unfaithful steward, that it can enslave you to sin and it can drag you far away from God, indeed far away from heaven itself. That if you devote yourself and you devote your earthly goods to the temporal cares and concerns of this world, and you just might get your reward here and now in this world, but wealth is often uncertain, as the current inflation rates show us. But if you live for that wealth here and now, the sad fact of truth is that this, you will likely live only in the here and the now. That over and over Jesus repeats this warning, that it is easier for a camel to go through an eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter heaven. That he's not talking about salvation by works, but he's talking about how sins can destroy and rob a man of salvation. Of how slavery to sin can destroy faith in Jesus and rip someone away from God. That this is the warning we have from Scripture. This is why these things were written down, as you hear it in the epistle lesson. That both the examples of the Old Testament and the teachings and examples of the New Testament teach this. That the wealth that God has given you is meant to be used to bless others, to serve others, to make sure that they hear of what God has done for all in Christ. To allow God to provide for all of the support and needs of the body, for those in your household, for those in your church, for those in your community. And similarly, the question of Jesus, what does it profit someone to gain the whole world if in the process he loses his soul? This means that if you think for any short amount of time about your use of what God has given you in your life. That massive amount of earthly goods that He has graciously, overabundantly given to you. You will not be able to honestly look at that in your life without wanting to make confession of grave sin in how you have lived your life and how you have used God's resources for selfish and sinful ways. That money is such a disastrous idol. That like all idols, it promises freedom, it promises great joys and comforts, and it delivers only slavery and robs us of eternal joy. That I have never in all of my life met anyone who could sit there and honestly claim to be anything but an unrighteous steward if they were honest. This means sin. Whether in pride of claiming ownership of what God owns, or whether it's the sin of losing our eternal focus for the temporal matters, the temporary matters which money can somehow seemingly improve, or so we think, or so we're told. That it's all in there. And it's a mess. A sinful, destructive mess. That we have sinned with our money. We have sinned with what God has given to us. That no one here, sitting here today, no one here listening to this sermon is exempt from that. And yet, in spite of this sin, God has always shown Himself to be merciful. God has spoken and promised that He gives grace to the humble. And that humility here looks like a confession of sin regarding the handling of wealth and possessions that God has given us. Humility here looks like a trust in God to make things right and prayers to God that He would rightly use, that we would rightly use what He has given. That's because the true God alone is unchanging and unfailing. Wealth, or unrighteous wealth, as Jesus calls it in today's parable, will fail. Jesus says so. It is a horrible thing to put your trust in. It is unstable and fleeting. And death, which will come to us all, especially if our Lord tarries, makes wealth utterly worthless and unhelpful to us. But God is stable. God is constant, unfailing, never diminishing, never fading away. He is the steadfast one who alone is righteous. And as always, while the sinners of the Old and New Testaments show us sins that we have in common with them and provide warnings against living in such sin, our Lord Jesus Christ shows us true faithfulness. And He is trying here to teach about using everything in the here and now for the future good of others and indeed ourselves. That He Himself has done so first, leaving behind His heavenly glory to take on flesh and blood, not as a child born in some wealthy, royal, powerful land filled with riches, but as a poor, humble, and weak existence. That He, eternal God, majesty eternal and co-equal with the Father, emptied Himself of His glory, setting it all aside. But why? Why did He do that temporal thing then and there? Because He loved the Father. And He knew what the Father had planned from before the foundation of the earth, the salvation of sinners. He did what He did, emptied Himself of His glory, that sinners would be forgiven and have eternal life with God. So for the eternal good, of not just himself, but of others, the Son of God, who is God himself, took on flesh, gave up all glory, gave everything of who he was in sacrifice to be humbled to the point of death. As Scripture says, even death upon a cross. In order that he would be able to take unrighteous sinners, unrighteous stewards and managers to heaven. That his work alone is righteous, and his work alone makes us righteous when we believe. That he had eternity in mind as he gave up all heavenly and temporal comforts for your sake. That he is the righteous and faithful steward, and he is that for your sake, for your eternal sake. And that because of Christ, your sins are forgiven. Because of Christ, the Spirit of our God, the Holy Spirit, this day is calling you to a new life, the life that you were baptized into. A life where what God has given is faithfully used for the good of the neighbor and for eternal things. Where it will not lead you to pride or greed or covetousness or hatred or indifference towards your neighbor, but into a new life of humbly receiving what God gives, of giving thanks to God who gives it, and using it as a wise and faithful steward for the good of others with heaven in mind. That there is no better way to invest your wealth than to put it into building the kingdom of God and into the riches of good works towards your neighbor. May we all be so generous as our God is to us. May we all be so merciful as our God is so merciful to us. May we all be so heavenly minded towards others as Christ was and still is toward us. And by God's grace, one day, you will see it. The treasure of heaven, the true treasure of heaven, the people of God, the people whom Christ has brought into heaven, who will welcome you into such place for your witness to the God who redeemed you, for your witness to the God who provides for all that you have and need and even more. That other sinners who know Christ will benefit from your use of earthly wealth for their good. And the selfish cares and concerns of this temporary existence, which consume our thoughts and devotions and tempt us away from Christ and heaven itself, those things will be long forgotten for the joys of eternity. God grant us all humble repentance, firm faith in Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, and the new life, both this day and into eternity. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.